Hello, and welcome to yet another installment of the House of Pop Culture. I am Anthony Donovan.
I'm Amy Meredith.
Durwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
As the Beaver.
And for the next hour, we're going to be talking about any and all things pop culture related. Now, tonight's a very special episode.
You say that so much it's lost all meaning.
Seriously, every episode is special.
I'm tired of being touched inappropriately by Durwood.
Tonight is a complete throwaway of an episode that isn't worth listening to. You Might should well. Really just find something else to do with your time for the next 54 minutes. Does that make you all happy now? Can I do my job? Thank you.
Jeez.
I would like to talk for just a moment about friendship. Now, with friends, they're the people who love you at your best and love you at your worst.
Really?
They can look back on your time together, and they can overlook the things about you that you might feel a little embarrassed about. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what tonight's show is about. We're going to be discussing our worst music, movies, and TV guilty pleasures.
Oh, I thought I was going to have to admit that I have a third nipple.
Nope.
We know that.
Yeah, we all know that already.
Oh.
Jamal is adorable, by the way. Anyway. We all have those things that we're watching or listening to that we do in the privacy of our own home, late at night, when we're sure nobody's watching.
With the lights down low.
With the lights down low and the curtains drawn so the neighbors can't see and or hear what you're into. And it's not porn.
Yeah, that's
not
porn, boys.
Very important distinction here. That
I'm going
to
have to redo my whole list.
That it not be porn.
But Durwood, for you, is really watching the porn a guilty pleasure?
Not when I'm watching porn, when I'm watching softcore porn. That's the guilty pleasure.
That's just pointless.
Yeah, pointless.
Some of us are fans. Anyway.
Well, as far as porn goes, as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's like coffee. Quality be damned, it's there to do a job. But
so true.
Oh, you're going to get in trouble.
And apologies
for that.
To Sound Engineer Joey.
You're going to be in trouble.
Because he takes his porn quality.
He really
very
does.
Seriously.
He does.
I have a feeling your mic just got turned down.
Yeah, we're going to find out. But anyway, it's about guilty pleasures. Now, for me personally, I know shame in my game, so it was hard to pick. But we've all got those things.
Of course.
We've all got them. And tonight is going to be the ultimate reveal, the fearlessness of performance artists, as we show you our guilty pleasures.
Now, I will start out by saying that I will not, even though I love Twilight.
What?
Shut it. It's not on my list.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
It's not because I do it with my friends. We go and we drink, and it is fun.
Feel guilty about
I would
it.
Also, I would also like to state for the record that because Showgirls is my favorite movie of all time, it is not on my list either. I unabashedly love that movie.
And quite frankly, we told Durwood he couldn't put Roadhouse on his list because we're just tired of hearing about it.
I wouldn't have put it on my list anyway. I don't feel guilty about liking Roadhouse.
And I'm just letting you know, I'm not putting Casablanca on my list. I think that is a fine film, and I don't care what y'all say.
Weirdo.
Oh, sicko.
All right. Well, Amy, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
What category are we starting with?
It surprised me.
Dealer's choice.
Surprise you. Well, then we're going to start with music, because that's my top.
Okay.
All right.
Starting with music, I have a couple of backups, but the one that has, like, the most catalog is I'm a fan of Olivia Newton-John. Please, Mr. Please, Magic, A Little More Love. I don't like that song.
How can you like an Olivia Newton-John not like that song?
That's the one I don't like. Xanadu, I could listen to Xanadu all day long. That song could just hit repeat for me, and I'd be a happy girl.
That's one thing I do have to say, because at Comic-Con, they have, like, they'll show old movies and stuff, and right. I was like, you know, normally, like, a bunch of, like, sci-fi type or, like, you know, geeky type movies. They had, like, Friday night at, like, midnight, they showed Xanadu. It's like,
that's awesome!
It's like, really? And it was, like, followed by, you know, right before, it was, like, 28 days later than Xanadu. So it's like, that's all right.
I think there should be a mashup of 28 days later and Xanadu.
Zombies on roller skates.
Zombies on roller skates. I think that is the next phase in evolution.
That, George Romero?
So, well, let me ask you this, because Olivia Newton-John is your guilty pleasure artist. What is your guilty pleasure main track of hers? The one that, like, is the ickiest?
The ickiest, besides Xanadu, because I do Xanadu so much, it would have to be A Little More Love.
Okay.
It's just, when she goes really, really high, it's just
I thought you were
going to
say
vanilla.
Her cover of Me and Bobby McGee, in which case,
did
I don't
she,
think...
She covered me.
Oh, yes, she did. Oh, yes, she did.
Wow.
We're gonna have to make that a separate podcast. Worst covers of all time.
Leanne Rimes, Purple Rain, just saying.
Oh!
Dolly Parton, Stairway to Heaven.
Hey!
Hey!
I'll Be Sure, Hotel California.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, it looks like we covered that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have some backups that we'll talk about in a minute, but that would be my...
I can't hate on Olivia Newton-John because she and I share a birthday.
Oh, okay.
So...
Yeah, that would be mine. Joe, what do you got over there?
Yeah, I also have a few backups, but this band, I have seen live 4 times, and I love them dearly. I've seen them in, you know, I saw them at Coors Amphitheater, I saw them House of Blues, I saw them...
The Wiggles?
No.
The Wiggles at the House
of Blues. 4 letters.
Oh, God, no.
One of the best lines that Homer Simpson ever uttered on The Simpsons was because of this band. That band is Styx.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else. I don't feel as bad about that. I don't think you should feel guilty about liking Styx, honestly. They have a lot of theater, a lot of drama in their music. And
yeah, they're like, okay, the so when I saw, I saw one of my favorite concerts I ever went to was down at Coors Amphitheater. It was Billy Squier, Bad Company, and Styx. This was so epic. It was Count the Mullet. No, I didn't, but it was Count the Mullet. Like, Kim and I were sitting there counting all the mullets.
That's Bring Your Own Mullet and Six Pack of Coors
Moulet.
And then ended up being like, you know, that was a great show. But then they played House of Blues, which is a much, much smaller venue.
Well, yeah.
And JY, like, oh my God, he looks like Viggo from Ghostbusters 2. And he's on this stage, just maybe about 10 feet off the ground, and you're right there, and he's looking down on you, and when he's singing, his mouth opens, you think he's going to eat your soul while he's singing, and, like, you know, while he's singing Renegade or something like that, and it is...
Oh, I love that song!
You said 4 letters, and I thought you were going to say ABBA, and we were going to get into a fist fight.
There is nothing wrong with ABBA, Durwood Murray.
Durwood. They're on my honorable mention. Oh, it's the inner drag queen in me.
No!
Yeah. No, Derwin, it's the inner drag queen in me.
And yet you love Ace of Base.
What? No, I don't. Somebody to lie to you.
You practically have an altar in your bedroom to Roxette.
Oh my God. Wait, hold on. There is a world of difference between Ace of Base, ABBA, and Roxette.
Really? You're going to argue this point?
Roxette was nice, okay? Joyride, she's got the look. Those were dope, all right? ABBA, Ace of Base, that was just shit.
ABBA is not shit.
No, it really is.
It is not.
Pure, unadulterated,
nope.
Corn-filled shit.
Nope. Plain you are wrong, sir.
No, I am right.
Okay, well, Durwood, since we're on to you... Why don't you go ahead and give us yours?
I feel bad for going on this rant, only because...
You're about to say Roxette?
I'm not going to say Roxette. I just know it's equally as embarrassing. And
hence it's guilty not, pleasure, yeah, douchebag.
It's not an artist. It's actually just one track. I have others on here as backups, but this is just... It's the one. It's been mentioned before on this podcast by myself. Ooh. It's Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. If the song comes on, I'm not going to turn stations. I'm not going to turn it off.
You're going to sing along.
I'm going to sing along.
That
loudly.
That is shameful. And you want to know how shameful that is? It is so shameful that that song is on my iPod.
Now I don't feel as bad. Well, no, I'm sorry. I still feel bad.
Yeah,
no, I shouldn't. There's nothing about that song I should like.
No.
That I should hear that song and I should get violent. I should want to throw things. But really, it just makes me want to dance.
I'll bet you Rob Van Winkle gets violent when he hears it.
Yeah, I've seen it, actually. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, oh, yeah, I don't know why that song has such a power over me. I don't know what it is about it. I can't believe I'm actually admitting it on a podcast, no
you've
doubt.
Met, you've admitted
tens
it
Tens of people are going to listen to, but, yeah, it's
We forgive
upsetting.
You for it. Not I, really, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm never going to hear the end of this bullshit. I know that.
Boy.
All right. Now, I'm the music guy,
yeah.
And this is a tough one for me because anyone who knows me knows 2 things about me. And the first is I am the child of a musician. I was brought up in a very musical household, and both my parents and my brother and my whole family really gave me the richest catalog of music to grow up on. So I heard everything. And, you know, the other thing about me is how much I unabashedly love pop music.
He really does.
And I consider myself to be a person of considerable music street cred, but I'm also open-minded. You know, I can listen to Court and Spark by Joni Mitchell on vinyl, or Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder, or Duke Ellington even, and then turn right around and listen to Britney Spears and love all of them for what they are.
Yeah.
But even I have to say that there's an artist, now I'm using that term loosely now, that I cannot help it, because there is absolutely, positively no redeeming value to be found at all in this woman's music. At all. She sucks out loud. She has no talent. She's not particularly attractive. She's kind of a mess, but I gotta tell you, God, I love that miserable mattress-backed skank, Kesha.
Yeah, TikTok was on my list.
I gotta say, and because even in her ridiculousness, there's a genuineness to it. I can't stand somebody who takes themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And Kesha is just the complete polar opposite of that. This is a chick, and I will tell you the reason that I could not continue hating her was when I found out what her claim to fame was before she became a quote-unquote recording star. And that is that she was out partying with Paris and Nicky Hilton, and I guess they went back to their place in the mansion, and she threw up in Paris Hilton's shoe closet.
Wait. did she do it on purpose, or was she just?
I like to think so.
Was it? Yeah. Was it just like, "Hey, Paris, blah, that's hot," or
yeah?
Did she just get too drunk?
In my mind, I want it to be that.
Yeah. Or was it that she really had to puke, and she was like, "I need to get to the bathroom," and she walked into her shoe closet, and it smelled so bad, and it smelled like urine. Well, that she decided she just had to
that was
go.
Probably if she was going through her underwear drawer, or you know, I'll bet you what happens. They probably weren't even drinking at all. She just walked into a room and The Simple Life was on TV. So that
was fine quality programming.
But for whatever the reason, I mean, I also like her because she broke into Prince's house. And she broke into Prince's house and found him playing guitar on the third floor, and she called her mom, like you do,
yeah.
And she's just like, "Mom, I'm in Prince's house and he's playing the guitar. What do I do?" And she said, "Hand him your demo." And of course, from what I hear, he was very nice, and then she was very quietly and quickly escorted out
in purple handcuffs.
But she's just such a mess. She's a mess. It is like you blew your nose and God made a human being out of the paper. I love her so much, because and her music is fun, and it's candy. It's candy. It's horrible for you.
I will tell you that one of my honorable mentions is her and 303, which is also ridiculous, that My First Kiss song.
That's a great song.
Gets stuck in my head like nothing else. And I will just bebop to it.
I want you guys to know, out there listening, that every single time, because Amy Meredith listens to Pandora every single day, without fail, whenever Kesha comes up on her Pandora, I will find a text on my phone saying,
"Skank."
And that's our code. That's how I automatically know.
The bitch is like a cockroach. No matter how many times I check don't like on Pandora, she just keeps coming back.
I really can't love her enough.
So, yeah, so My First Kiss was an honorable mention, mm-hmm. because and also Ridiculous 303, because it's spelled number 3-O-H.
Yeah.
But... I think we can all agree, Kesha, as an artist and a human being, worthless.
Yeah, pretty much.
But TikTok was on my honorable mentions list, as well was the artist Master P. I think you all know why.
Because you used that word artist very loosely.
Yeah, exactly. And then also the song Bye 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 by NSYNC. As a 34-year-old black man, there's no reason why I should like that song yet. I know the choreography.
Oh, that's even sadder.
Yeah, isn't it though?
That's even sadder.
Guilty pleasure.
My southern roots draw me sometimes to country music, even though I really try not to do it. Travis Tritt's Trouble.
Dude.
It makes me want to do the Cotton Eye Joe. I hear it.
Which is an excellent song.
And I want to put on, you know, my...
overalls?
My table dress.
Take off your shoes.
Clogging outfit and just fuck go to brother. Town.
I can't wait to get you drunk again.
This will
we
happen.
We now have a mission.
Yep.
So I have two bands left on my... since we already mentioned ABBA. One, it's kind of, it's like... it's almost kind of become socially acceptable, but I don't think it should be. It's one of those, I shouldn't like them, but I do. And it's Journey. And
you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
Still, one of my favorite things is, I mean, before Glee and before all that, you know, before, you know, when Journey was truly that shameful thing, people would say, "Oh, it's Journey? Wait, is Steve Perry involved with it?" No? Oh, God. Really? Like, it's like, really? Steve Perry? Is that defining, you know?
Here's the thing. Pushing. Before the overexposure, which I think The Sopranos' final episode had a lot to do with, I don't think there really was much shame in Journey. I think, in my opinion...
Yeah, there was a ton of shame.
I think they made quality music. They made that good
rock anthem music
that was great for Middle America and Northeastern white people. You go into a karaoke bar, one person singing that, everybody can sing along, it's good for y'all. I understand it. But since Glee, since that last episode of Sopranos, this overexposure, and then everybody's like, you know what? Fuck yeah, Journey! And now I gotta hear it every 5 minutes, and that goddamn Don't Stop Believin' song. Ugh.
With one of my favorite moments is back when VH1 Classics would show videos. When we first discovered it, it was like videos all the time. And it was either, for the most part, either amazing videos, like, oh my god, I haven't seen this in years, or those atrocious 80 videos that you could just not turn away from. And my roommates at the time, they're like, yeah, we were up till like 4 a.m. watching that. And I'm like, really? How the hell were you guys up till 4 a.m.? That night, I was up till 3 a.m. with them watching it. But there's one, I remember one time, it was, I forget which Journey video it is. It's the one that's basically a concert. And Steve Perry is singing. And you see the...
Was there a choir involved also?
Listen, fucktard, listen. Oh. So there's the whole front area was all guys. And they're all singing and like going, yeah, all right. And I'm like, there's probably this one guy that's went to his friends like, man, that Steve Perry chick from Journey is hot. And his friend's like, that's a dude. He's like, no, Steve Perry. His name is Steve. Yeah, like Stevie Nicks. No, Steve as in Steven, as in he has a wang. And then, so that's Journey. Okay. But then my other band is Foreigner.
Wait, there's a difference between Journey and Foreigner?
Journey and Foreigner are the same band. Yeah.
Nope, they're different.
Huh. By the way,
if you ever
want to hear the single greatest cover ever made of Foreigner's I Want to Know What Love Is,
I'll agree with this
cover. You need to check out my friend Rona Bennett.
Yeah.
Does the most incredible cover. Fuck Mariah's version.
Yeah.
Because this one is so much better. But yeah, YouTube it. Seriously. Yeah. Rona Bennett, I Want to Know What Love Is.
And a shout out to Rona. She's lovely.
Anyway.
So yeah, I think those were some pretty guilty things there.
Yep.
I apologize.
As well, you should.
I don't.
All right, like y'all shouldn't.
Let's move on because we got a lot more ground to cover.
And don't stop believing.
I think now's a good time for TV.
TV was a little difficult for me. I watch a lot of television, and
a lot of it you should be ashamed of, though. Seriously.
The first one that came to mind, though, because I'm kind of a foodie. I watch Top Chef, Top Chef Masters. I watch all kinds of stuff on the, Food Network, on the Cooking Channel. I love to cook. I love great food. I love chefs. I love Hell's Kitchen. But I don't watch it for the food. I think everything they make on there looks like shit. And I've never once watched Hell's Kitchen and been like, I want to eat that person's food. That's never happened. I just watch it so I can watch Gordon Ramsay yell and cuss at them. I actually fast forward through most of the cooking just so I can get to the part where he yells at them.
Donkey.
So in other words, if somebody just filmed, I don't know, like a boot camp, you'd probably be there front and center just watching.
I don't know if that's it.
As long as it was in the kitchen.
With Gordon Ramsay.
Because he throws food at them. And it's amazing. And like
he is an adult, right?
Yes.
Just sure he's not a five-year-old.
And they have to stand there and take it and go, yes, chef. As he gets in their faces and calls them donkeys and donuts.
And not too long ago, didn't you tell me that they make the same food every single season?
Every season. Who can't cook that fucking Wellington by now? I know the recipes now. Who can't cook that Wellington? Everyone should know how to do that by now. And they still fuck it up. But I want to be, like, my dream is to be on that show so that I can fuck up. So he can come over and yell at me. And when he gets right up in my face, I just want to put my finger and go boop and touch his nose. Just to see what would happen. I love it. I can't help it. But I do fast forward through most of it.
He would be flummoxed, I'd say.
What would he do? Seriously, that's my thing. So that's... I have some runners up, but
probably,
that's...
Probably his kryptonite, honestly.
Yeah, that's my number one. Boys, Joe.
TV was hard for me. I don't know why, but it was just one of those... Like, I watch a lot of TV, but a lot of it, you know, it's like, when I realize it's crap, I stop watching just because I'm watching too much stuff to begin with. So
your DVR can only take so much. Yeah,
exactly. And this one goes back. We were actually talking about this earlier this evening. And it's a generational thing, you know, and I think one person in this room likes this show as well.
But is everybody looking at me?
No, it's not you.
Oh, thank God.
I know it's not you. But it is Saved by the Bell.
There is nothing to feel guilty about whatsoever.
There is?
No. Well,
yes, there is.
That show's dope. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Oh, wait. Anthony has a little look on his face over here.
We'll get to my feelings on that in a moment.
Oh.
You mean your beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. Go Bayside.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, Joe, now that you've mentioned that, I think it parlays really good into my TV guilty pleasure, which is...
The college years?
God damn it. Saved by the Bell, yes, the college
years. Oh!
You can only find it at like 4 a.m. on TBS.
Am I being punked? No. Is this like a real thing?
Well, but yeah, seriously, and wait, here's the thing.
Was that going to be yours?
No! God, no!
I thought it was. I'm like,
Saved
really?
By the Bell, the college years really is bad.
Oh, Saved by College is horrible.
Really, but oh, I will God. Watch it every time it's on. I'm watching it, I'm just like, this is such crap, but I'm not turning the channel.
I'm so glad I'm there's a every, space between yeah. them and us.
Yeah.
First of all, Saved by the Bell was good. It was actually good. Good.
And I'm sorry, Grandma and Grandpa Clampett, but, you know, when I was in elementary school, when that came on, and, you know, watching, you know, when they were in junior high with Miss Bliss and Haley Mills.
Yeah.
So you had that, and then growing up and, you know, and then watching that brick of a cell phone Zach Morris had, the fact that he could just stop time like that, and that shit was awesome. Yeah. Yes, he broke the fourth wall.
Mr. Belding was a man.
A.C. Slater had some abs.
Yeah, he did. Slater was dope.
I'm ignoring
Tiffany,
them now.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Anthony, you had something to say about Saved by the Bell?
Saved by the Bell was the Kesha of television. Oh. Anyway...
I might not necessarily disagree
my,
too much.
My guilty pleasure as far as television goes, and I do want to touch on Saved by the Bell for a second, because it is a show from when I was younger, and when I was a kid, for some reason, I don't know why, I wasn't really into age-appropriate stuff.
Me neither.
You know, the only show that I watched when I was like a teenager that Gunsmoke? Was intended for teenagers was probably the Mickey Mouse Club. But, like, I saw Saved by the Bell, and I saw the TGIF stuff, and I just did not like light comedy.
Yeah.
It just was not my thing. I liked, you know, grown-up sitcoms and from the time, as far back as I can remember.
I liked Twin Peaks.
That having been said, there is a show from the time that it came on the air when I was about 10, 11 years old and lasted for a couple of seasons, and I watched it religiously. I could not miss an episode of it. Actually, I remember there was one night where the television went out because something happened with the antenna, and I was inconsolable because it was the season finale. And not too long ago, I actually got on YouTube, because the worst thing in the world, ladies and gentlemen, is Anthony Donovan plus unsupervised free time.
You have no idea.
That's the deadliest combination on Earth.
It is. Our sink hasn't worked right since.
It's worse than ammonia and bleach.
I don't want to say too much, but let's just say when you have that combination, the results usually are a dildo in the microwave.
It's true. It's bad. But anyway, so
rice in your shower.
Fortunately, this day, all I had was YouTube, so I had some time, and I found old episodes of this show, and I was looking at it and just thinking, oh my God, what the fuck was my deal? Because my favorite show was Small Wonder.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with
I
that
love
show.
Small Wonder.
Small Wonder was great.
Okay. Thank you, Saved by the Bell Choir. That show was so fucking weird.
Well, first of all, let's look at it. That show came out in the 80s.
Ted Lawson played God. It was scary. But the only reason I watched that show was because I was madly in love with Tiffany Brissett.
I never watched it.
Who played, was she a robot?
Yeah, she played Vicky. Now, here's the stranger thing about that. What the fuck was my 11-year-old deal? you know, from some girl that sleeps in a case and she's like made of metal and she talks like a robot and does exactly what I say. What was my deal?
Perfect woman.
I guess, but damn.
Obeyed commands and shit.
I became a man the episode where they let her hair down from that ponytail. I loved her.
Your first wet dream to her?
I'm pretty sure that once I was convinced that she wasn't a real robot and I couldn't have her, I think she ruined me for girls. I think that may have been the moment. But anyway, yeah, that show was fucking weird. I don't know what was my deal, but I loved it.
I never watched that show.
And I try not to let people know that now, so I guess I probably shouldn't have gone on the air and
pretend you did
that.
Not hear any of this.
Yeah, just, yeah. Skip
so
that.
That's, yeah, I'm going to sit quietly to myself and imagine robot child.
Nice. My runners-up are on right now. One of them is what we like to call at our house, fall down, go boom.
Love it.
Which is Wipeout. Just because I like watching people get hurt. So that,
well, your dream of all dreams is to have like a human whack-a-mole.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome. I would love to have that. That's what I want for my birthday. I want a human whack-a-mole.
I will not be at that birthday because I know it will be one of the humans in there.
I'm pretty sure I'm busy that day.
My other one, though, is... oh gosh, I gotta look at my list. Oh, Toddlers and Tiaras. Because I was a beauty pageant kid, so watching these shows...
Is that your nom?
Yes.
No, well, that's Dance Moms.
Dance Moms is now my nom. But Toddlers and Tiaras, I love watching the little girls because they're kind of creepy when they're all made up in their little outfits and everything. I love it. I can't help it. I think it's...
You just look for the little wind-up key.
Yeah, I think those shows are hilarious, and yeah, I love it. What else?
When you said Wipeout, the reason I cannot watch Wipeout is because there was a show probably on Spike TV about 6-7 years ago, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
God bless the Japanese.
Love that show.
And what made it great is because it took an old Japanese game show from like the 80s, Takeshi's Castle, which I'm still trying to find. I want to see because I have no idea what the hell that actual show was about. And then, you know, they put it together and they overdubbed it in English and then put a whole bunch of random, you know, it was like, you know.
Wasn't Mary Shearer one of the voices on that?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
There's nothing to feel guilty about that. That's funny.
But that was just something that reminded me.
Because there'd be some girl cheering and they'd be like, my life is a hollow lie.
Yeah. But the two, my two runners up, they're not necessarily, I don't think, bad shows, but they're not shows I feel that when they're on, I stop doing stuff. Like, I just sit and watch them. And those are That 70s Show and Whose Line Is It Anyways, the American version.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider either one of those guilty pleasures.
Like, I don't, but it's just one of those, like, I've seen probably every episode of That 70s Show countless times. Like, I'll be like, you know, it happens to come on, like, when I get home from work, I will just sit down when I get home from work and just watch it and then do stuff. It's weird. I don't know why.
The other ones I had on my list were, god damn it, Family Matters.
Oh, Durwood.
Purple Show. What can I say? It was black people.
You didn't do anything on Friday nights, huh?
Okay. No. Let me just stop you right there.
Did you have the same glasses?
Durwood.
Fuck you.
Let me just stop you right there because you said black people on TV. Mm-hmm. This is the late 80s to early 90s. I wouldn't exactly call it a farce by that point to see black people on TV.
No.
I mean, The Cosby Show was number one.
No, yes. However, okay. I think I've made mention before that as a black kid growing up in the suburbs, you gravitate towards anything that's black just to have a grasp of your own culture.
Like Vanilla Ice.
God damn you.
Insane.
And Lord knows the Cosby Show wasn't going to help you in that department. Yeah. Cousin Pam was still a few years off.
And while I acknowledge that show was bad, or not necessarily anything, it was no great step for the race, it was still black people on TV. Urkel be damned, I watched that show.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to Lifetime Achievement.
Didn't they kind of... Because I remember watching that show, too. But didn't they...
Why?
I was 11.
Yeah. Friday night, come on.
Like, seriously. But didn't they kind of write off the like youngest daughter after like the first season?
It's not that they wrote her off, it's just they had nothing else for her to do. So they kind of like, they didn't write her off, it's just that
she went to bed and never woke up.
She wasn't acknowledged.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, they just kind of,
They Moira Kelly'd her ass.
Yeah.
Like on The West Wing.
Oh. she was on for one season and never heard of again. Yeah, even in flashbacks.
Even in flashbacks.
That's like that 70s show. In like the second episode, Donna has a sister.
Oh.
That you see and they reference. Never
so
again.
I wonder if there's a planet where, like, the youngest daughter from Family Matters,
Scully's boyfriend.
Richie
Cunningham's older brother.
Right.
They all just end up there.
Yeah.
Like the Island of Misfit Toys.
Well, the Cosby Show did it backwards because in the pilot there was no Sandra.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't have Sandra.
Oh, and the last one on my list is the Maury Povich Show. Anytime I get a day off from work during the week. I'm sorry.
You gotta know who the daddy is.
No, it's fun just watching and deciding who you're gonna root for when they ask the turn test. You're just like, nah, she slept around. Seriously. She's back on the show for the 9th time and doesn't know who the motherfucker is. I hope it's not this dude. And yeah, there's nothing better than when Maury says, "You are not the father," and a dude starts getting up and dancing, and either the crowd is cheering or booing for him. And sometimes he'll play in some music for the dude to dance
rips off
to.
The girl's weave while she's crying and spikes it.
And here's the thing. The girl, if he's not the father, she always gets up and runs to the back and starts crying. So much so that they now have a second set in the back behind the set where she can go. There's another couch.
The crying horror
plants.
Area.
Exactly. There's another couch and more plants for her to sit down and cry at and a place for Maury to sit down next to her. It's okay. If you find another suspect, we'll do another paternity test.
If you remember.
Exactly. If you can figure out
who talking about me. No great step for the race.
Exactly. But yet again, guilty pleasure.
What I like is that he watches that enough that he knows about the set changes.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who watches Maury? Seriously.
I see it in waiting rooms occasionally.
I see it on The Soup.
I watch Springer. But I actually remember using in high school I was taking an ethics class and I had to do that went over well apparently as Amy gives me a look like you have ethics
just never heard that word before
yes. and I ended up doing it on racism with a friend of mine, you know, and we ended up using clips from Blazing Saddles and Springer.
Awesome.
And it was like Christmas with the Klan and Klanta Claus.
Klanta Claus.
It was, and you're just like, I think after I'm like, I'm sorry for this. I had nothing to do with it. However,
here it is.
The dregs of humanity, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, that was an interesting romp through TV Ooh. Land. I think now's the big one. Now's it's the shame of movies, the guilty pleasures.
Okay, I've got my big one, and then I've got some runners up, but we'll do my big one. My big one I like to call a movie pack. It is the wonderful world of dance movies. Mm. And not just certain, not just every dance movie, but certain ones. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I'm sorry, Sarah Jessica Parker, Shannon Doherty.
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt's in that movie.
She had dinosaurs in her hair.
Oh, I love that movie. Oh yeah, so good. Fast Forward, which most people don't know about, but Anthony knows because I've made him watch it.
The only thing interesting about that is Allison Janney is an extra in it.
Yeah, that's about it. It's fabulous 80s. It's all about the 80s. Sing, which also little-known movie, Lorraine Bracco dances in it. It's set in Brooklyn, and they have these amazing Brooklyn accents that are just so glorious. Grease 2.
Ugh.
Oh, shut up. Xanadu. Comes into that one as well. And then the mama of them all, Dirty Dancing.
I think Dirty Dancing is a good movie.
Yeah, I don't think you have to feel guilty about that, especially because you're a woman. Dirty Dancing, I think, is a...
She carried a watermelon.
Number one, it's a chick flick. And of chick flicks, I think it's probably one of the best ones out there.
It was a phenomenon when it came out.
Well, I pack it in with all of my wonderful 80s dance movies. Xanadu was in the 70s, but...
I don't think you have to feel embarrassed about it.
I wouldn't put Dirty Dancing in a guilty pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll take that one out then and leave the rest. Girls Just Want to Have Fun, especially. It comes on regular channels on the weekends, and I can't help it. I watch it every single time. The choreography is just really perfectly 80s, and I'm sorry. Joe.
All right, so the top movie on my list. This was a movie back when I worked at a movie theater. I worked in a theater when it came out, and then I was working at a different theater when it was on DVD, and it was like an hour commute each, you know, combined hour to hour and a half. So like when I got home, I was just like utterly exhausted. There were three movies that I would have on rotation that I would watch just because it was mindless. I knew them. The other two that are not guilty pleasures were Office Space and Army of Darkness. So I love those two movies. This movie is from Amongst the Hallowed films based off of Saturday Night Live sketches.
Well, this is going to
be echelon of Blues Brothers,
yeah.
Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Then you have the lower echelon that's like, it's Pat and Stuart Saves His Family. And then most of the other ones are also down by the lower echelon. This one, I believe, is also definitely in the lower echelon. However, it's on the top of the upper echelon. A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, Joe. You know
I love that movie.
Joe. Yeah,
so much. It was one of those things, it was like, it was Will Ferrell before he became too Will Ferrell.
Duly noted.
And, I mean, a lot of that cast, I mean, like, Molly Shannon has a role in it. You know, a lot of the SNL cast is in it. Richard Grieco is in it, and it as himself. And it is just absolutely hilarious. And the fact that they quote so many movies, like, there's the whole ending part where he's holding up the boombox playing, and then they go into the whole end speech of Jerry Maguire of, you know, shut up, you had me at hello. Like, it is great.
I like that movie too. I understand the shame you feel, but I'm right there with you, brother.
Thank you.
But the big one on my list, we're just gonna, this is gonna be another movie pack, but... They're all sequels.
I see you did have Roxbury written down.
I did. Okay. We're going to go ahead and just call it... No, the first two actually weren't that bad, but 3 through 6 are. Yet I love them all. And we're talking about the Police Academy.
Oh my god, I forgot about those. I love the Police Academy.
Police Academy 3, we owned on beta, and I actually still know that word for word. Police Academy 4, Cops on Patrol, or Citizens on Patrol.
Wow.
Had David Spade in it.
And Sharon Stone.
And Sharon Stone. 5, Assignment Miami Beach.
That was the first one without Gutenberg.
Exactly.
Oh,
and in his presence noticed.
Yeah, it was duly missed.
That's sad when City Gutenberg is
Did you ever see Mission to Moscow, though?
Oh, Mission to Moscow,
I never saw Moscow.
I've seen Mission to Moscow. That had Charlie Slattery in it, actually.
How many times has someone looked at a movie and said, you know, I really miss Steve Gutenberg?
The first time we see Mission Miami Beach.
I will say, though, hands down, the best recurring running gag in any movie franchise, the Blue Oyster.
That was
fun. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm sure some movie series will have a gag throughout, you know, a couple. But, I mean, did they do it in Mission to Moscow?
I don't believe they did it in Mission to Moscow. I don't think they did it in City Under Siege.
No, they didn't.
If you know how to say Blue Oyster in Russian, email us at thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's sad.
I'm sorry.
That's sad.
I'm a fan. But like I said, the first two are actually not bad.
I saw the first one in the theater. I loved it.
I'll give you that.
But
it was almost the same movie.
Was Tackleberry in all of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sadly, he has passed away.
He's no longer with us.
Black lady with the little voice.
Hooks. Yeah.
Rest in peace, David Graff.
Yeah. David Graff, who, not a guilty pleasure movie, but it's one of those movies I think that people forget. The Brady Bunch movie and the very Brady sequel.
Yeah.
He played Sam the Butcher.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Just delivering some meat.
Nice.
Good times.
My friend?
All right. My movie, because it was tough for me to really narrow down a movie, because, like, with movies, I don't really get embarrassed of watching, you know, whatever, I don't mind. I saw Spice World in the theater, you know.
He made me go. He made me go.
But there was one movie that came to mind where I was just like, I kind of had a moment, because I realized I really do love this movie, but I just have never said it out loud before. I just, you know, I like to watch it whenever it's on. I don't think I've ever not watched it when it's been on, and I really, really do like it, and it is so embarrassing, because it is such an unabashed Lifetime TV movie of the week, chick, girly girl, chick flick.
I'm so concerned.
And it's Under the Tuscan Sun.
Oh.
Wow. Is that the one with Diane Lane?
Yeah. Yeah, I love... I fucking love Sandra that movie.
In that movie?
Yeah. Like, I'm about it.
It's
a good
movie.
I don't think it is.
The girl.
Like, yeah. it's one of those things where it is just... I mean, it's a giant panty shield.
Oh, I mean, it really...
Like, and here's the thing that I remember about that movie. It came out on my birthday.
I can't believe you just said that.
It got its theatrical...
That it came out on his birthday?
It got its
theatrical... It came out on his birthday.
It's got its theatrical release on September 26, 2003. And I remember looking at it thinking, that looks stupid, because a lot of movies that come out in September are complete crap. But
and things you drag me to at your birthday are usually complete
crap. Right, and then I saw the movie and I was just so swept up by the imagery and the majesty of it all. And the story of Frances, the writer, who was jilted by her husband. And
ends up making a delicious Italian food.
And end up making Italian food. And of course she falls in love and her pregnant lesbo Asian friend shows up. And I mean, it's just...
There's the creepy Italian trees.
There's the creepy Italian trees. And just, I fell in love with this movie. And yeah... You know what? I don't care who knows it. I love Under the Tuscan Sun.
I'll just shake my head.
I won't shake my head because I said A Night at the Roxbury.
You did.
So.
And both of you, Saved by the Bell. Come on,
yeah,
glass houses, guys.
Yeah. I had a couple of honorable mentions. One of them, if it's on, I'm watching it. I don't care. It's funny and it cracks my ass up. Is The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Nothing to feel guilty about. That's actually a good movie. Dude, that cast is off the chain.
I can't help it. That
Lauren Holly's in that. Morris Day is in that. Wayne Newton. Ed O'Neill's in that.
Ed O'Neill kills me in that
Robert
movie.
Robert England is in that. He was Freddy Krueger, kids. Yeah, he plays the villain in that movie. That's actually a good movie.
It's not.
Oh, come on.
No, it isn't. We should be ashamed.
No, there's no reason. If you said you were a fan of Andrew Dice Clay's stand-up, you should be ashamed. That movie, they actually found a good Andrew Dice Clay vehicle, oddly enough, they made a good movie for him.
It's funny. I can't help it. It makes me laugh. My other ones were, and it's just a big old ball of cheese coming at the earth to destroy it, is Armageddon. Love that movie. It is so cheesy.
Cry like a baby at the end.
Bruce Willis at the end crying with Ben Affleck gets me. It's just a big wheel of cheese coming to destroy all of us. I love it.
I've never seen it.
I have it. We'll watch it.
No, it's okay.
Deep Impact's the better movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Deep Impact. That's that porn.
It doesn't have Bruce Willis. Sasha
Morgan Gray, Freeman right? is the motherfucking president.
But, yeah. No. You know who was in Deep Willis. Impact? Aditha Kimbau from The House.
Oh, that's
Represent.
Right. She's running up the hill. My other one, and it's a horrible movie, and I think it's a horrible movie, but if it's on, I'm like a cat in front of it. The colors draw me in, and that's all I see. Speed Racer.
Oh, Speed Racer was...
I like Speed Racer.
Speed Racer was a terrible
movie.
Well,
think about this way. Awesome. Speed Racer is live-action anime.
That's...
Yeah. Like, there's no... Like, I mean... It's,
the colors. It's, I just sit and there and watch it.
Susan Sarandon's wreck in that movie is...
Best supporting actress.
Best right supporting actress to Susan Sarandon's bro.
But it's a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah. You don't want... You're not watching Speed Racer for the plot.
Dude, it looks awesome, though.
The colors. I'm like a cat. I want to bat the TV screen when
I own that movie.
Also, Susan Sarandon's rack is awesome in that movie.
I think I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
And, also, John Goodman's rack.
That's true. Quite actually, superb. John Goodman's rack.
His rack is good no matter where we're at.
Yeah.
He's got a bodacious set of man cans.
Well, speaking of John Goodman, one thing that was annoying me, because, especially
King
when Ralph. I love King
Oh, my God.
When I was trying to think of TV shows that I'm like, I could not think of anything. Like, you know, it was like really hard. And I was looking on websites, what are people's guilty pleasures? So many people put Roseanne. I'm like, really?
Roseanne
was
not a guilty pleasure.
Unless they're talking about the last season.
Yeah.
But.
Go ahead. No, I'm good.
Okay. So I have three left on mine. One, it's not a good movie, but it is so epically awesome. And for the most part, most people only really remember the theme song. Flash! Yes, Flash Gordon is...
Porny. It's porny.
It is, yeah. But I love it. I love it dearly. And then...
I like the album.
Yeah. I dig the fact there's a villain who calls himself The Merciless. Yeah. That's pretty dope.
But then I have also a movie on my list by I would actually be hard pressed to find no one that has a guilty pleasure Michael Bay movie.
Well, I had Armageddon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Armageddon minus Con Air.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what? That's a great guilty pleasure
but,
movie.
But the, like, it's on TV. I will watch it.
Put down the damn bunny.
Thank you.
The best line ever is Steve Buscemi when they're on the plane. It's like the definition of irony.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people singing and dancing along to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash.
And I also, one thing I like about that movie is that I really view that movie as Hollywood's way of saying, if you like Julia Roberts, you'll love Monica Potter. Because she was kind of the poor man, she was the cubic zirconium equivalent to Julia Roberts.
And then my last movie on my list is, it was really weird. It was like this perfect storm of things I did not like at that time. I was not a Nick Cage fan at that time. Yet Con Air's on my damn
list. Yeah, yeah.
And
you know, you one now?
No. Okay. He has some roles. That, adaptation was, I thought, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Snake Eyes.
And then,
We're gonna throw you out of the room again.
He was great in Kick-Ass. 8mm. like he was great. So he can pick some good roles. But then there's a whole lot of Nick Cage.
I actually like National Treasure.
That was the first one.
The second one, meh.
I have never, other than Pulp Fiction, really liked John Travolta.
Oh.
And I was not a fan of American John Woo. Oh. Yet I love Face Off.
Face Off is awesome.
That's an awesome movie. That's not a no guilt.
Face Off is the shit.
I loved that movie.
No guilt.
But, no, but no I mean, guilt. Get with all that stuff. That yeah.
no.
I had going on.
No, I got you.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, no guilt on that
I'm
one.
I'm guilty that I liked it because I did not like.
Nope, no
there's,
guilt.
There's no way you couldn't have not liked that.
Margaret Cho is in that.
CCH Pounder's in it. And,
oh, you can't go wrong.
And
with
also,
Pounder.
Nick Cage's stuntman with a full head of hair jumping off that one thing, and his hair flowing in the breeze when it's like Nick Cage is.
I'm
not,
sorry.
I've never had that much
the
hair.
Lead names, Castor Troy and Sean Archer. You can't get better than those names. Those are perfect movie
they
names.
They really are.
Yeah, and you got Joan Allen.
I love Joan Allen.
Yeah. Oh, I hate for you to go, but I love to watch you leave.
I was like, well, Joan Allen's got a nice looking ass right there.
There's no guilt on that one. I call no, like Dirty Dancing, no
you
guilt on
that one.
You
received the pardon.
Yeah.
Okay, on my list left, I also had Night at the Roxbury. I've got Rocky V. There's nothing good about that movie whatsoever.
Which one is that?
Rocky V is the one where he trains the new kid, Tommy, the machine,
oh,
gun.
You mean the unnecessary Rocky?
Yes. Well,
which one was necessary?
Okay, first of all, one through three, nice. Four, five.
Four is Lundgren, right?
Yeah, four is Lundgren. I must break you. Okay, for that alone. Okay.
Wait, which one was Mr. T?
Three. Mr. Lang, do you have a prediction for this fight? A prediction? Yes, a prediction for this fight. Pain.
Seems right. Odd that he laughed after saying that.
All right, no, that was just me.
I'm not picturing Mr. T with
Mr. T giggling like a girl.
No, him. When he says pain, that's the best line in a movie ever. Ever. Okay.
I already claimed that in this podcast, so you can't have it. I got
first. We will fight over that. Anyway, also I have Teen Witch.
I don't know why. Oh, Robin Lively.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Joe's lovely wife,
yes,
Nicole, she loves that movie. I've watched it with her many times. Okay. There's a dance break in it.
Yes, Nicole's what, 26 years old?
29, actually.
29, whatever, white girl. I can understand her loving that movie.
Thank you for pointing that out. I never realized she was
white,
a white girl.
Ginger girl.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There's no reason at all why I should even know why that movie exists.
But is it because of Nicole?
No, actually. Before I met Nicole, back in high school,
you spent a lot of time alone.
You're very white.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be the most popular girl. Come on. Anyway. And then also, Ocean's 12.
There are moments in that. I love the...
I don't know if I'd go guilty pleasure on that one.
Well, honestly, look. That's Soderbergh and Clooney just masturbating in Italy.
No, well, honestly. That was them going, hey, let's all get together and go on a road trip and let's have someone else pay for it. Yeah. That was what that movie
was. But then my favorite part of Ocean's 13 is Ocean's 13, subtitle, we're sorry about Ocean's 12.
Yeah. But I like Ocean's 12, but...
It had... I didn't think it was a bad movie. I mean, but the first one was so good.
Yeah. No, the first one was awesome, yeah. And the second one was just so incredibly indulgent.
I would
yeah.
actually put the first one among one of the best remakes ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I put it above the original.
We should do a cast on that one at some point.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah. It's kind of funny, we were talking about all this... things come to mind as we get to talking and mm-hmm. things like that. And a show that I hadn't thought about in years, it was kind of a... None of my friends watched it because my friends were kind of... They were snotty. But a show that I loved was Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Oh my God, I love that show.
That was a great show.
Ferris Bueller Knock Off.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was better than Ferris Bueller.
But you don't hear a lot about that show anymore. You know, you think that one would have like
Cora Nemec was actually recently in a web short with David Faustino.
Yes.
That was pretty damn funny.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if we'll come under legal action for this, but I once had sex with a girl whose ex was really good friends with Cora Nemec.
That was a long way around the tree there.
And I'm not going to lie.
I think he's basically saying he once had sex with Cora Nemec.
No, I didn't know. But this chick, awesome in bed. Cuckoo, but still. Anyway, so that's my connection to Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, you
know. I don't know why that show popped into my head. I think Saved by the Bell I never watched because it sucked, but I liked Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and I always kind of think of them kind of on the same kind of teenagery kind of.
Okay, fine. For 10 seasons, I watched Kids Incorporated. Are you happy now? I said it.
See?
I watched it.
I knew if we waited long enough, we'd get something out of him.
D-S-S, kids.
Now, I want to tell you, the primary reason I watched...
Stop it, we'll have to pay for that.
The primary reason I watched the last three or four seasons is because they were the lead-in to the Mickey Mouse Club on the Disney Channel. That's why. But, well, it was one of those things where I just felt like I needed to finish it. It was like when you eat a box of Pop-Tarts.
You don't leave one?
Yeah.
You can't just leave one Pop-Tart.
Yeah, and
does anyone ever eat just one? Like, do you open the package and just ever eat one
Pop-Tart? Okay, stay the course, would you please?
I can eat just one box of Pop-Tarts.
I'm trying to make a confession here.
I'm sorry, go ahead. My bad.
I used to watch Kids Incorporated, but my other guilty pleasure movies were The Chipmunk Adventure and Teen Wolf.
Why are you guilty about Teen Wolf?
I wouldn't put neither
you
on.
You should feel guilty about Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf is a terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie.
Look, the only thing wrong with Teen Wolf is the fact that I don't see how you becoming a wolf makes you better at basketball.
Okay. Teen Wolf.
If it was Teen Wolf 7 foot 2. Black guy, maybe.
Teen Wolf 2.
Teen Wolf 2 is horrible.
Horrible movie.
If you
love Bateman.
Teen Wolf 2, yeah, Bateman's awesome, but Teen Wolf 2.
And I got a bloody
bad.
Nose from that movie because me and my friend.
It was so bad it gave you a bloody nose.
Yes. No, we were watching it on video at my 10th birthday party, and me and my best friend were pretending to box along with the movie.
He didn't gauge
the distance and actually punched me in the face and gave me a bloody nose. That was also the night I found out I was moving from New Jersey to California.
Oh,
so I was having a good birthday party.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, and speaking of Kids Incorporated,
a lot of people are on that show.
Their rendition of Time Warp is one of the greatest things.
Oh, YouTube that.
Oh, my Lord.
The fact that they changed the lyrics.
Now that was fairly common, but they tackled a lot of stuff. They did some pretty out there stuff.
No, the YouTube, the Kids Incorporated doing the Time Warp. That's a little piece of heaven.
So you're saying that had it lasted into the 90s, they might have covered Nirvana's Rape Me?
Actually, Kids Incorporated went till 93.
What?
Yeah, true story.
What channel was that on?
It was on the Disney. They were on for 10 years.
Wait, wasn't Fergie already with the Butterbeans by then?
No, she was not.
Black Eyed Peas.
You knew what I meant.
Yeah,
but before they became trapped in Tron. but anyway, I think the most important thing now is in the wrap up. I'm glad that we all shared. I'm glad that we all feel better about ourselves now. We talked about
I feel so much more ashamed.
We talked about... Well, you know what? Actually, Durwood, I'll tell you, you're in luck. Because right behind the studio is an identical studio with plants that we can go cry at. And Maury Povich will sit down next to us and comfort us.
Great. I need
and
that.
And sound engineer Joey's probably upstairs right now laughing and dancing around at the fact that we're crying. But in any event, if you liked what you heard here, you can get your fix of pop culture every day by following us on Twitter at Pop Culture House. If you want to check out me on Twitter, Anthony Donovan, you can find me at Daboy, Daboy.
Durwood's at Reggie Swing.
Joe's at Crazed Dr. Scott.
And of course, you can email us at thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com. And if you really want to be sweet to us, go on Facebook and look us up, The House of Pop Culture, and like our page. God damn it, so I can stop listening to the shit from these boys complaining about it.
We sure would appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we want to thank Don't Panic Studios and sound engineer Joey. Woo-hoo! And until next time, peace out. Keep it real.
Bye.
Dun, 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 dun.